Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and if you've ever felt stuck trying to learn jazz piano from a million different sources, this show is definitely for you. Each week, I break things down step by step to help you play with more freedom, more confidence, and a whole lot more swing. Everything I share here ties back to the system that I created and that we use inside the Jazz Piano School membership. So if you're ready for more structure and progress, I'll tell you how to check that out at the end of this episode. And hey, if you're enjoying this kind of real-world guidance, make sure to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. I'm your host as always. Now, improvisation. We are talking about improvisation and specifically the real path to jazz improvisation excellence. And this is really what nobody explains, right? Because so many of the times, and what I found in my career was that every single teacher, when I would ask them about improv, I would say, can we work on improvisation? And they say, yeah, what do you want to work on? And this happened in more than one area or category, right? I wouldn't know. I don't know what I'd want to work on. And so I'd say, well, I really like this player. I want to try to add more bebop lines. And they say, okay, let me sit down. Do you know these movements here? And they would kind of play lines for me, right? And I'd be like, no, I don't really know those, but what's going on here? And they would say, well, you know, we're kind of doing this, and here, let's just build out a line, and then you can practice that line and then work it into your solo. And so eventually I kind of just, you know, went with the flow, and I was like, all right, sure, let's do that. But I never really understood the building blocks. Like, why did things sound good? Why did stuff in improv sound good? What made it sound good? What are the components that actually make up an amazing sounding improvisation solo? And if you know those, then you can literally record yourself and say, what am I missing? Like, what am I not doing right now that I need to be doing in order to make my sound sound good? And believe it or not, there's a lot of things. There is a lot of things. And it goes so much further than just notes and rhythm and swing feel. It's so much more. Like, oh my God, why didn't anyone tell me this, right? Why doesn't anyone really talk about this? It's always just licks and lines, kind of. It's so crazy to me. So real quick, as you know, goal 3 of my Proficient Jazz Piano System, Proficient Jazz Pianist course, goal 3 improvisation is being released on Black Friday. If you're not on the release email list, go to jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025. And once Black Friday hits, that link will change to the Black Friday offer. You can get goal 3 improvisation. Everything I'm talking about right here is going to be from the outline to the course structure for goal 3. And it's my entire improvisation system. So that this is a brand new release. I've been working on this course for over a year. And this will complete the entirety of my Proficient Jazz Pianist course. Now, I'm funneling all new members of Jazz Piano School into this course because it is so good. And if you didn't listen to my story about how I went to the new school and they give me a list of proficiency items I had to test out of, you want to go listen to that, because I had to test out a proficiency. I had to execute a list of fundamentals, and only then and only then would they let me choose my own upper classes, like pick the classes I got to go to, study with the teacher that I wanted to study with. I had to demonstrate a certain level of proficiency, and that's why I built this course, and it's now going to be finally finished. I'm so excited. But my point here is, you know, get it or not, I don't really care. But my point is that all of what you're hearing today comes from that origin story from New School, and I built that course, and Goal 3 is being released, okay? And so what they don't tell you about improvisation is that there's so much more than just lines, notes, rhythms. What else do they tell you? And swing feel, like swing feel, right? And a lot, you know, it's so funny. A lot of times my teacher, let me know if you've heard these lines before. Like, you just got to swing harder. That was one of the things I used to hear. You just got to swing harder. Like, you're not really swinging. You're not feeling it. Try to swing more. And I'd be like, okay, can you, how do I do that exactly, teacher, you know? And I'm not trying to say I have a bad taste. Well, I do have a bad taste in my mouth, but, you know, I just expect a little more guidance and direction than I really never got, which is what I tried to do. And so I also heard, you know, yeah, it sounds okay, but you need a little bit more spice, you know? I heard just general terms like this, and I'm just like, what are you talking about, right? Or you got to play more like this. And then I would scoot over, and they would sit down, and they would improvise, and I'd be like, okay, what? I don't even know what you're doing. Like, what is more like this mean, right? Okay, so today's whole podcast is about my system and the things in teaching and empowering you to learn the improvisation process in the building blocks that literally make improv sound like improv, make it sound good. Because I promise you, I absolutely 100% promise. My wife and I have this funny thing. If I say promise, right, it's got to be it. Because she has a steel trap. Anytime I say that word promise, she has a steel trap for the word promise. And if I said promise 5 years ago and I don't hold up my end of the bargain, I promise you, she'll remember, right? And so I only use the word promise in very serious situations. So I'm going to use it right now for you. I promise you that if your improvisation isn't sounding the way that you want it to right now, it's going to be because of one of the things I say on this podcast today and nothing else. I promise you. And that one thing could completely open the door to your improvisation sounding exactly the way that you've always wanted. Now, most of the time, it's not one thing. Most of the time, it's multiple things. It's multiple things combined that we have to really work towards integrating, so we're expressing all of these steps, all these components, all these tools in order to make our improv sound good. But it could be one. And if it's not, there's at least one, is what I'm trying to say. There's at least one, okay? And this is what I teach to all my VIP coaching students. I'm working through this system. I work on this system with all my students, and it's transformative. It completely transforms their improv immediately, instantly, because they are solid, proficient items and fundamental building blocks that allow you to progress when you work on them. They're not general terms, general blanket suggestions like swing harder, feel it more, play less, right? Listen more, transcribe more. Like, okay, thank you, goodbye. Here we go. At the very beginning, at the bare bones level, we need to express the sound and harmony of a chord. Step number one. At the bare bones level, we need to express the sound and harmony of a chord. So if I play a C minor 7 chord, right? I need to express the harmonies of this chord somehow. Now there's four notes that make up the chord. The chord tones are the four notes, C, E flat, G, and B flat. Right? In order to express the sound of the chord, I need to have probably some of those four notes when I'm improvising. I need to use some of those four notes. That's why step one of improv is just learning how to improvise with chord tones. Because if you can't improvise at the bare minimum with the notes that make up a chord, you're not going to sound like you're playing through the changes. Does that make sense? And so many students, you'd be surprised, when I make things simple, more simple, they have a harder time, and righteously so, because making it, like, really working down to the bare bones is just not something that's taught. But in order to sound like I'm playing over a C minor 7 chord, I need to play notes from a C minor 7 chord. C, E flat, G, B flat. Does that not make the most sense in the world? That's step one. So in order to make our improv sound like we're playing through changes, let's say in a 2-5-1. You could clearly hear that I was playing over a 2-5-1 because I was only using chord tones, right? So that's going to be step one. And most of the time, students aren't using these notes, or when the chord changes, and I give you a rule of landing on a chord tone, when the chord changes, usually, you know, the chord changes every measure, or you have two chords per measure, so you got to change the chord tones, you know, twice. Usually students can't do this, okay? And if you can't do this, you're not reflecting the sound of the harmony. So step one. Step two, we need to learn how to connect our lines in a fluid way, with fluid motion, right? And the way that we do that is through glue notes in between the chord tones. So I have four chord tones and they're spaced out by thirds. I know this isn't part of my YouTube tutorial. This is all audio education, right? But if you picture a four-note chord, they're spaced out by thirds, different types of thirds, minor thirds, major thirds, right? We can't just solo with four notes. We need to be able to connect these four notes so that it sounds smooth and fluid and flowing, right? So one of the reasons that I had such trouble with modes give you colors. Yes, they fit over chords and they give you colors and different sounds. Great, yada, yada, yada. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Most students are very adverse, have an adverse reaction to learning modes and scales because they don't get why they need to play scales and use scales in their improvisation. I was there too. I was you. I'm not that old. I haven't been doing this that long. I mean, I have and I haven't, but I remember my journey vividly. It was only, I'm 41. It was only a little over 20 years ago. I was in college and high school 25 years ago, right? It's not like I'm 80 and I don't remember what my journey was like. I'll never forget my journey, right? So I also was like, you know, what do I do with these scales? Why am I practicing scales? And my teachers would just go, you need them. You need to know what scale fits over the chord. Yes, but why? Like, how do I use this for improvisation? Here's why, okay? Yes, A, the color, but the whole goal of a scale is to connect the chord tones. Do you hear me on this? The whole goal of a scale is to allow you to move from chord tone to chord tone and connect them so you don't have to always jump back and forth. In order to make fluid motion lines. So if I'm improvising over a C7 chord, I can now move up and down through my chord tones. Here's the third, fifth, seven, one, three, five. I don't have to jump all around to get to my chord tones. I can now fluidly connect them. That makes for beautiful music because we have flowing motion with the scale. We don't have to jump now. Can you imagine if you were just using your chord tones all the time, you would always be jumping. And that's very disorienting. Like skips and segmented choppiness is very disorienting. That's why we need scales. One of the big reasons. And when I started saying this to students, they were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. So much more sense. Right? So now you can move up and down between your chord tones, still reflecting the harmonies with your chord tones, but now they can be smooth transitions back and forth, right? Back and forth. Right? Okay, and that's going to really be step number two. Now, step number three, you know, without rhythm, we do need rhythm. Okay, we need rhythm and we need the swing feel. Okay, so rhythm is obviously a huge component to all of this. Even if you're using chord tones, right from the get-go, you need solid rhythm and expression of the swing feel. But that takes a long, long time, right? So it's good to learn about the swing feel. It's good to practice your swing feel. But I've never in my entire career seen a student really get a good swing feel. That comes much later is what I'm trying to say. You can really work on your note selection and ironing out so much about the way your improv sounds with notes first. Now, I'm not saying to not work on your rhythm. Please do. But I'm just saying that's a consistent journey. It's like something you just need to do constantly. You can learn your chord tones and solo with your chord tones or your chord scales and then be done with it after 3 months, right? Maybe sooner, depending upon how long you're practicing, and be like, okay, Brendan, I learned all my chord tones. I can use them to solo with. I learned all my chord scales. I can use them solo with. You know, I've seen students do this in a month, 4 weeks, right? They practice 3 hours, 3 to 5 hours a day. They got it. Cool. Great. And then they're done. That's it. They don't have to revisit that ever. But working on your swing feel, what I'm trying to say is that on day one, when you start to learn about it, you're going to be working on that for a long, long time. Okay? Just to set the expectation straight. So working on your rhythm is really, really solid in the swing feel. That's going to be consistently done. But one of the things that I keep saying to all my students recently in their improvisation is the variety. I just did a YouTube video on this. Go check out the youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. Like and subscribe. I just put out our YouTube tutorial on rhythm and incorporating triplets, because so many times students only play quarter notes and eighth notes. That's it. Quarter notes and eighth notes, quarter notes and eighth notes all day long. You have to have triplets and 16th notes in order to make your rhythmic variety pop in your solo. Okay, you have to have that. So we start to tackle that in goal three of the improvisation goal in the Proficient Jazz Pianist. We tackle the rhythm early on, mixed with chord tones and chord scales. All right. So these things combined give us a really solid foundation, right? If I were just to do this, meaning I'm using quarter notes, eighth notes, triplets, 16th notes, chord tones, and chord scales, my improv would sound like this. Right? Now, it doesn't really sound like jazz improv yet. And again, if I were to play like that for a teacher, I'd be like, why doesn't it sound like that? They'd be like, well, you just got to swing harder, or here, try this, right? But I know. That's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you why it doesn't sound like that and what is the exact building block you need that I give to you in goal three, right? Why doesn't that sound like jazz yet? Do you know? Can you tell? There's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things, right? But one of the things is that I don't have tension yet. I don't have tension, and I get tension through the three different styles that you can pretty much move into. Now, I haven't talked about motivic development yet. I haven't talked about left-hand voicings, which is all in goal three. I really passed over the rhythm really, really fast. So essentially in goal three, I go through all of that with chord tones, voice leading chord. I'm looking at the outline right now. Voice leading chord tones, rhythm and chord tones, proficiency. You take your proficiency test. We analyze Lady Bird, multiple tunes. We go into connecting the chord tones. Like I said, it's not about the chord scales, it's about connecting the chord tones. How do we connect chord tones? So I talk about chord scales, the what and the why, essentially what I just talked to you about. Three chord scales the only three chord scales you'll ever need, really, to begin. Connecting chord scales, connecting non-251 chords, right? And then I go into skips, right? So skip patterns are really, I'm going to get back to why that didn't sound like jazz in just a second. But skip patterns, you need skip patterns because they're a building block of bebop. So, right? So I'm coming down with a skip pattern. Or you probably have heard this before, right? Have you heard that? Or right, so that's a skip pattern. I'm playing all skips up in thirds. We need these skip patterns to balance out our scales. We need skips to balance out our scales. Now, the skip patterns are symmetrical, meaning unlike a chord in different inversions, these skip patterns are essentially outlining chords in different ways in all thirds, right? So our skip patterns are always in thirds. If I do a first inversion C minor, there's a whole step at the top. So you can't really do a skip pattern out of that. So our skip patterns, we have to have skip patterns to play the sound of bebop and just improvise with. And that's why the skip patterns balances out the steps. Okay? So I'm just kind of going through some of the outline here of goal three. Rhythm and phrasing fundamentals, talk to you about that. Finishing touches is more about the motivic development, having repetitive ideas, articulation, clear articulation, solid articulation, comping strategies, and then finally, musical improv, right? Dynamics, you know, musical improv, articulation, and so much more is what it's all about, right? That's what that's all about. So with my demo, at this point, that's pretty much like such a fast snapshot. You know, I just went through so many different things, so many practice exercises, so a lot of time spent on this, learning all these different things. From here, we can get into our level ups. Now, the level ups is something new that I'm working on that I'm going to be releasing in 2026, which is meant for students who pass out of proficiency in goal three of improvisation to move into the level ups, because this is exactly what I got to do at New School. Once I tested out of proficiency, I got to choose. I was the one in the captain's chair. The reason for that is because I demonstrated to my teachers that I was ready. I'm ready to take on more advanced things. I'm ready to what? Level up. And I got to choose. So the great thing about this new system in Jazz Piano School, which I've completely rebuilt, and part of the Black Friday lifetime offer that you can get is our upgraded platform. It's lifetime access to our upgraded platform when we release it in 2026. And all this stuff will be released in our upgraded platform. Again, jazzpianoschool.com/Black Friday 2025. But with the level up, you can choose three styles. I give you the option to choose three styles, and you can work on all three for sure. It doesn't matter which one, because I used to take different classes, right? I take Charlie Parker class, I take John Coltrane class, I take the Red Garland class, the Jazz Messengers combo, right? I could move into all these different classes, and it was awesome. All these different styles. So for improv specifically, my improv system will now level you up into three styles. And if you listen to improv, try to put a record on and create a genre that's outside of that. I dare you to, right? I challenge you to. All of the improvisation you hear is usually one of those three styles or a little hybrid of both. Oscar Peterson, pretty much blues, a little bebop, but mostly blues, mainly blues, right? So I record a lot of content today. My voice is going a little bit and I was sick. Red Garland, mostly bebop. Wynn Kelly, mostly bebop, some blues. Chick Corea, very modern. Remember, modern blues or bebop. Those are three styles. Brad Meldow, very modern. Herbie, very modern, although he transitioned, right? He kind of came from a bop style. Same with McCoy. McCoy, back in the early days, came from the bop style, moved into a modern style. So there hasn't been like much breakthrough on the jazz improvisation style. I mean, we can get into free jazz, but that's not really what we're here to learn. I'm teaching the classics. So we have blues, Gene Harris, blues, right? And really anyone you pick will fall into those three categories. So it makes sense that when you level up, what style do you want to learn? It's not just about going and learning as much information as possible. We need to channel your focus so you can run and sprint towards the result and goal that you want. The more you can focus in on exactly what component you need to create the style you want, the faster you're going to get there. So if you want to sound like Gene Harris, what do you need to play? Blues licks and stuff like that. Same if you're trying to sound like Wynton Kelly, Red Garland, Herbie, Keith, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can level up into those styles. Now, blues, modern, and bebop all have specific components. So finally, I'm so sorry. Back to the demo that I played. The reason at this point it doesn't sound like jazz yet is because it doesn't have influences from one of those three styles yet. Okay, so what I demoed before, it doesn't have an influence. So if I wanted to add a bebop influence, I'm going to add bebop approaches. Right? So I'm adding bebop approaches into this. To create bebop lines. Now, the bebop approaches are the new tool that was added into this. If I wanted to sound more like blues, right? More Oscar Peterson style, which is kind of more of the way that I play mixed with bebop. If I wanted to sound more modern, without my left hand copping, I'm trying to use more force, more altered scales, more chromaticism, things like that. And those are going to kind of work out to more of the modern style way, right? Not to mention the left hand comping. Right, will start to really help emphasize that modern style. So once you test out a proficiency, you can go one of three ways. And it doesn't mean you can't combine any of those three level ups. You can certainly move between level up and level up and really find your voice, find your style. Now, the greatest thing about this is that all of these encompass all styles, right? So funk is a lot of blues. And really anything you're looking for, bossa nova, it's still jazz improv language. Pop, rock, country, it really comes from everything you're learning here. So as long as you kind of nail down the components you need after you test out of improv proficiency, you can play whatever you want. You literally have complete improvisational freedom, which is the greatest thing about this course. And so many other online membership sites will have you, playing through lots of tunes, having you improvise and showing you things to play over tunes. Not saying that's not helpful. I'm not saying that transcription's not helpful. But if I constantly just show you demos of myself playing over pop tunes or rock tunes or funk tunes or any style or blues or gospel, right? You don't really learn the true core improvisational concepts, which leads you to be consistently and cyclically stuck in one place because you're still bouncing around from thing to thing to thing looking for those core components. And that's exactly what the Proficient Jazz Piano Improviser is about in the entirety of the course. Goal one is comping, goal two is solo piano, goal three is improv. And proficiency among those three categories and improv, it's about giving you the core tools to be able to play funk, solo in funk, be able to solo in the blues, be able to solo in bossa, right? Because you're learning core improvisational tools and then moving on to expanding your style and expression with certain types of advanced tools that now layer on very easily. Reharms, movements, left-hand voicings, different types of rhythms, et cetera, et cetera. This allows you to improvise over everything, whenever you want, in the best way possible. The other great thing I'll leave you with too is that when you analyze yourself and assess yourself, if you're following a structured path, right, then you can say, okay, you should always record yourself, by the way. Always, always, always record your improv and listen back and ask yourself, what's it missing? What am I doing? You can't analyze yourself in the bottle. You can't read the outside of the label when you're in the bottle. You got to record yourself and then listen back, because you can take a very removed, approach at that point. Am I missing triplets? Am I missing chord tones? Am I hitting chord tones? Am I using scales? Am I using skips? Am I using bebop approach notes? Am I rushing? Am I dragging? Am I using modern tools? Am I using the blues tools, techniques? You have to record yourself. So when you have a structured, set of proficiency fundamentals that you need to check the box off, which is just the way I do with all my students. I'm like, you're not checking these boxes off right now. And that's why this doesn't sound the way you want it to sound. It's not a guessing game. It's a well-oiled machine at this point. So you can say, okay, I'm not checking off the triplet box, or I'm not checking off the chord scale above, half step below, bebop approach box, right? I don't have those approaches in my wheelhouse. I don't have four note approaches in my wheelhouse. I don't have my minor pentatonic in my wheelhouse. I don't have my sus hexatonic scale, modern scale, or modern triadic approach in my tool bag. So that's why it doesn't sound like McCoy. it's not just because you're not doing McCoy transcriptions. And even if you did transcribe McCoy, you could play his licks, but you wouldn't know how to create your own, right? So you got to learn the core, proficient, fundamental building blocks that lead into these things that unlocks freedom for you in your improv. And I promise you, it's the only way. It's the only way you're going to finally make the progress that you want. I promise you. Again, my wife's word, my promise. All right. So again, if you're interested in all of this, right, and you are curious about this incredible Black Friday offer, because it's literally the best offer we've ever had. You get lifetime access to Jazz Piano School as is right now. You get lifetime access to the Proficient Jazz Pianist course that we're releasing Goal 3 on Black Friday. And you get lifetime access to the upgraded platform, all specialty courses, mini courses, playbook courses, and then 4 bonuses. It's amazing. Plus a more than $1,000 discount on all of it, right? It's insane. It's like the most insane deal ever. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/BlackFriday2025 to check it out. Members, by the way, if you're a member listening to this, don't worry. You get all of this for free anyway, right? If you're a paying member, a lifetime elite member already, all this is free, right? Some of you have gotten previous Black Friday offer deals, right? And you're like, oh my God, that was the best investment I ever made. And so you're still reaping the rewards, and you too will reap these rewards for years to come. That's exactly kind of what it is meant for, to go all in on Black Friday, to really invest in your education forever, for the rest of your life. It's lifetime access. You make one payment and you have lifetime access. Insanity. Imagine if I could have paid for college. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. It's just like crazy. Because if I could have paid one time to go to college, but then studied with my teachers for the rest of my life, that's what this would be like. It's like nuts. And been around all my fellow musicians, been involved in the community, the classes, the education, you know, it would be like going like in school for the rest of my life, having access to that for the rest of my life. Anyway, my voice is completely shot. I'm going to go rest. Hope you guys enjoyed this. There's so many great nuggets here. Like, I would re-listen to this multiple times. There's so many small nuggets. Even just the fact of telling you to record yourself and always record yourself and listen back, that alone is priceless, right? Not to mention just like how we move through the structure, why we learn things the way we do. Hopefully your mindset is shifting. Hopefully it's empowering you and it's inspiring you. Hopefully it gives you hope that you actually have the ability to learn and improvise the way you want, as long as you kind of dial down and focus in on the proficient items that release and unlock what you need to do. Because otherwise you're kind of just spinning your wheels. It's a guessing game. We don't want that. I've been there. It's not fun. Trust me. Okay. Thanks for listening, y'all. If you want to leave a 5-star review, I'd greatly appreciate it. Trying to get my rating back up to 5.0. It's at 4.8. Thank you so much if you have left a review. Go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool to check out the tutorial videos. Please like and subscribe. Please subscribe. Trying to get my subscriptions up as well. And share this if you enjoyed it. Share it with the jazz community. I'd appreciate all that. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Take care.